just one look and I'm forever undone. Precious Jesus, you're the one I want to love. Your heart. So here is all my oil, love it on my soul. I saved it all for you. I saved it all for you. Oh, day by day I pray this costly offering. I saved it all. All for you. My great rabbi, you are clothed in robes of for you worthy, and now I give my life off your glory. My worthy King, my worthy, I wanna honor you like you deserve it. I wanna worship you for you worthy, and now I give my life off your glory. My worthy King, my worthy, I wanna honor you like you deserve it. I wanna worship you for you. Now I give my life all for your glory. My worthy King, my worthy, I wanna honor you like you deserve it. I wanna worship you for your worthy. And now I give my life all for your glory. My worthy King, I wanna honor you like you deserve it. I wanna worship you.
well, well, good morning, everybody. God bless. How y'all doing? So very excited to be here with you this morning. And boy, what I wouldn't give to be in that background that you see behind me. Well, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. It's already March 26th, year of our Lord 2025, and we're all here worshiping, fellowshipping together once again. I want to say good morning to some of the great people that I've been reading in the chat. I also want to thank Bobby Mannion for the early morning sunrise $50 donation. Amanda Collins, good morning. House of Curtains, Sass64, Rosebud, Mustache, Majorva, Frackman, Wayne Davis, L. Dooley, good morning. Cindy and Kelly, Annette, good morning. Michelle and Ray, and Mander's Mama, C. Cappy, C. Michaels, good morning. Colents, 2008, good morning. Shop Girl, Trump Fan. Angel, good morning. Kittenhead, La La Carte. River Rat, Ashley. Good morning to all of you. Well, I have heard ever since beginning my walk with Jesus that it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And I heard that from before I started my walk with Jesus. I heard that as I was making the transition into my new life. Thank you, House of Curtains. May God bless your steps today. And I still hear that today. And so I wanted to do what we all should do. And I wanted to go into the Bible to see how true that statement is. And we're going to talk about it today. Right here on Rise Up. So, M. Wag says, another great topic, Jeremy. Do we have any other kind when we rely on the Holy Spirit and let God speak? You know, I said last week, I said, is it just me? Or maybe it was a couple weeks ago. I said, is it just me? Or does Rise Up seem to be getting deeper, more in depth, more interesting, revealing more truth to us? And I am so excited to bring today's show to you. Because this is something that, like I said, I've heard and I've said. But how true is it? We're going to find out. Annette said, I never actually heard it's about a relationship. I was searching and found it in my search in different religions. Wow. I would like to know, for all those that are watching, how many of you have heard that same thing. It's not a religion, Christianity. It's a relationship. If you've heard it, let me know. W. Wilson said, religion is divisive, therefore not of God. Well, 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 well. We're going to find out what the Bible says. But guess what? I'm about to tell you something that maybe you're not all expecting. You're all right. And there's going to be more to it as well. Kittenhead said, maybe from this show. Kitten 1948 says, I have and now I say it. Godchick says, I have heard it, I have said it. Never heard this in all my years of Catholic Church, said M. Wags. Well, that doesn't surprise me. Mustache says, yes, it's a relationship. Shop Girl says, all the time I say, people all the time. Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Then we'll get busy. And I'm sorry, I did not send a newsletter out this morning. I do apologize. Really busy morning today, and I just didn't have time to get to it. Okay? House of Curtain says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, we're going to dive deep into this today. Let's get to prayer. And then we'll read the description, and then we'll get into it, okay? All right, Lord and Heavenly Father, what a great blessing it is to be able, when we have questions, to go to you for the answer. Not to go to a church for an answer, although that's okay, but we don't need to. We don't need to go to somebody else for the answer, although having discussion on divine and theological, you know, facts are amazing. It's great. It's what we need. And we are so grateful for that, Lord. But we are so grateful for the blessing of the fact that we can come right to you when we have questions about what's going on in our lives and around our lives every single day. Lord, we are also so grateful for the blessing of this show so that we can all together not only worship and praise and give you thanks, but also to be able to work through different topics together, having discussion the way you intended. We are so grateful for that. Thank you, Lord. We are also so grateful for Rumble and a place to be able to speak freely about the divinity and the power of our Father, the Creator, our Savior, the Son, and our guide, the Holy Spirit. Pray that you are guiding us through this message today. And we pray that this message touches all ears and hearts who need it. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think a lot of people have questions on this because there's a lot of times when Jesus obviously says he and the Father are one. We know that Jesus is God's word manifest and made into flesh. We know that the Holy Spirit is our guide, and we know that God is creator. And you'll hear Jesus say things in the Bible like, why do you call me good? There are none good but God, separating himself from the Creator. But at the same time, I and the Father are one. Reconnecting himself in the conversation with the Creator. And it can be very confusing for the everyday average follower of Christ. It can be very confusing, especially if somebody challenges you on this. Before we get started, and we are going to go to biblical word, the word, Jesus himself, for clarification. But before we get started, let me just say, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one. Meaning that the Holy Spirit is God and is of God. Jesus is God and is of God. And God is I am. They are all one. Three different parts, like an egg. That's easy to understand. Do we worship Jesus as God? Yes, we do. Because he is a part of God. Do we worship God, the Father? Yes, we do. Now, you don't really ever hear a lot of people say, I worship the Holy Spirit, although it is of God. We don't worship or venerate anybody else, including Mary, because they are not a part of God. Now, we were created in the image of the three in one, but we are not God. We've got that all figured out, right? We can all agree on that. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. Even though we worship Jesus as God, God is God, the Holy Spirit is God, they're all one, we do have a different relationship, as far as we understand it anyway, with each. So when I pray and I worship in my mind God, the Creator. I do that through my relationship with Jesus, the very Word of God, the Bible. And I am comforted and guided by the Holy Spirit, which is God living in me. So, I think we can all agree on that. Now, this is where it's going to get a little I wouldn't say tricky or difficult to understand, but this is where the rubber is going to meet the road. And I'm going to ask a few questions before we get started here, okay? And feel free to answer them. God himself has no religion. I want you to let that soak in. The Bible, God's word, Jesus, has no religion. Does that mean that we don't? Or does that mean that we shouldn't? Is religion man-made? Or is religion God-made? Would you like the quick answer to that? Both. And this isn't my opinion. We're going to go to the Bible for this, for clarification. It's both. There is man-made religion, and there is God-made, approved religion. I might have to spin some heads here. So do we as Christians have a relationship or a religion? Answer, both. We have a relationship with God through Jesus, but we also exercise and practice our religion that is God-made, not man-made. Ooh, I love this kind of stuff, don't you? Let's get into this. When I said God himself has no religion, I'm going to the Bible for that. Nowhere in that good collection of 66 books does it say that God is Catholic. Nowhere in that book does it say God is evangelical. Nowhere in that book does it say God is an Adventist. Nowhere does it say that God is Jehovah's Witness. And nowhere in that book does it say that God is a Mormon. Can we all agree on that? I think right now we're all on the same page, for the most part. Now, there might be some people in the chat that go, wait a minute, hold up, back up the theological truck here. There's no way that we have a relationship and a religion as Christians. That's not true. And the answer is it is both. We're going to get to it in a minute. But we know that God isn't Catholic, God isn't evangelical, he isn't Adventist, he isn't Jehovah's Witness, and he isn't Mormon. He doesn't favor any particular church or denomination that follows Christ. And most of them are all riddled with man-made traditions. And that's why. That's why he doesn't favor one over the other. Because they all have their own man-made set of rules, laws, traditions that set their religion apart from God made religion. God does not belong to any man-made religion or any man-made church, because no single church can fully represent him except for the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ. That is the only church that can represent fully who God is, the body of Christ. I love that. So which church is the right church? Well, the truth is, if we're talking about Catholic, Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Evangelical, Mormon, what church is the right church? If we're speaking in those terms, the answer is simply none. Now, somebody said, didn't we have this conversation, or am I tripping here? No. We had a conversation about denominations. We did not have a full in-depth conversation about, is Christianity and our relationship with Jesus a religion or a relationship? We haven't talked about that in depth. So, the truth is, none of those churches are the right church. Religion, for most people on earth, and I say most, regardless of what church they go to, is humanity's attempt to reach God through rituals, rules, and traditions. That's what most people think religion is, and most people follow that. It is humanity's attempt to reach the creator of everything through rituals, traditions, and rules. But every church, all the ones we spoke about, has its own theological flaws and different doctrines. That's why Jesus didn't come to create a religion. He came to reconcile and reconnect all of us with Father God in heaven, which is the only religion that he approves of. Let me say that again. He did not come to create a religion, Jesus. He came to reconnect and reconcile us under a new covenant with God in heaven, which is the only religion that he approves of. So, what is the definition of religion? Well, there's a biblical definition of religion. Now, I have to look over here to read it for you, because I'm having issues with my screens once again, but that's nothing. Let me just read this for you. Religion: the belief in and worship of superhuman powers especially a god or gods, particularly a system of faith and worship. That right there is the only true definition that God approves of talking about religion. But you're exercising faith and worship in Him. Hence, yes, you do have a religion. Because religion just means you have faith and practice worship in God. But you also have a relationship with Jesus, which is guided by and teaches you how to be like Him because of the Holy Spirit. So when I said, yes, the answer is both, I'm not wrong. And I'm going to prove to you I'm not wrong when we go to the verse of the day today. Okay? Now, the verse of the day today is going to come from James. However, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes through to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. Share the video. That's the relationship side of it, folks. So when you say, I don't have religion, I have a relationship, you are thinking that way and saying that because of what you are referring to as man-made religion. But you do have religion in God, in faith and worship to Him. And you do it through the relationship side of things, which is through Jesus Christ. Jeremy, you sure go all out when you study, don't you? So proud of you. Well, I don't want to get this wrong. You know what I mean? Father God, the creator of all things, is not interested in our religious labels. He doesn't care if you're Catholic. He doesn't care if you're evangelical. He doesn't care. All he cares about is that you have a relationship with Him, which is the religious part of it, through the relationship of Jesus Christ guided by the Holy Spirit. That's all he cares about. And if that's not the case, then you'd have to say that no person who calls themselves Catholic is going to go to heaven. No person who calls themselves evangelical is going to heaven. No person who calls themselves Presbyterian or whatever is going to heaven. There are people that call themselves that are going to go to heaven, clearly. But Jesus is not interested in those religious labels. God is not interested in those religious labels. If you want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, you need to read James 1:19-27. And that's where we're going to go today. That's where our verse of the day is going to reside today, is in between James 1:19-27. So if you want to open your Bibles, go ahead, because we're going to talk about it. It explains fully, exactly, what God desires from us. And yes, says religion. It's important to note, though, that religion itself isn't the problem here. And we blame that a lot on that because of our understanding of religion being man-made traditions, rules, and rituals, right? Religion isn't the problem. Religiosity is the problem. There is a difference. Religion, if you're talking about it in the sense that God wants you to talk about it, is just between you and Him. It's worship and faith. Religiosity is what we think about religion, is the rules, the rituals, the traditions, the this, the thous, the thats. You have to do this or else you're not going to go to heaven. You have to confess to this person or else you're not going to go to heaven. That's religiosity. It's when people use doctrine to divide. I saw W. Wilson earlier in the chat said that religion is for division. Well, people will use religiosity to take doctrine and then use that doctrine almost as a weapon to divide, criticize, and condemn others. If you truly want to know God, start with a Bible. Then find a church that is Bible-based. And if you already attend one, then keep gathering with other believers. God instructs us that we have to do that. We have to gather and fellowship with other believers. It strengthens our relationship with Christ. But remember, live out your faith and your love and your worship in humility. Don't just preach. Apply and live what you believe from the very word of God that was revealed to you by reading his word. I talked about this yesterday with my wife, about application. Everybody knows what you should do. Every husband knows how to be a husband. Every wife knows how to be a wife. Every mother and father know how to be that. But applying God and God's way of life into your everyday life, that's what people can't seem to do. Or they can't seem to hold on to that very long. Application, folks. You all know what you got to do. You all know what you should do. But it's application of God's way of life and his word that actually brings you closer to him through Jesus. Because what the world needs right now, folks, is God in the heart, dwelling within you, not just religion on the surface. And I think the devil has done this on purpose. I think the devil has redefined the word religion so that when you think of religion, especially as a Christian, you think, well, I'm not religious, but you are. You are. The devil has got you tricked into severing that connection between you and God, you and the Father, by telling you religion is fake. Well, that's not what the Bible says, and I'm going to prove it here in just 1 second. All right? Now, before I prove it, before we go to this, let me just tell you, when I said the world needs God in the heart and dwelling within you, not just religion on the surface, let me explain something to you in a very great analogy that I heard once. I want you to think of a glove. If a glove doesn't fit, you must have quit, right? I want you to think of a glove. A glove is made in the image of what? A hand, right? A glove has a thumb and 4 fingers. Because a glove is created in the image of a hand. Now, once you put your hand in that glove comes to life. It does what the hand wants it to do. It reflects the movements of the hand. But if you take your hand out of that glove, what is that glove then? It goes limp and it's lifeless. It has no life in it. It has no purpose. If it's just a glove and there's no hand in it, then it's not doing what it was meant to do. It's just a lifeless nothing. Then you put your hand back in it, and all of a sudden, it reflects the hand. Well, in the same way, we were created in the image of God. And if God is not in us, like the hand is in the glove, then we are better off lifeless. We are limp. We are without God in us. We are basically without life. And I think that's the best analogy of having God in you because you were created in his image and you want to reflect God. Same way a hand and a glove does. Okay? I really wanted to make that analogy. I really wanted to. It's so easy when you think of it in tell me like I'm five terms, right? Explain this to me like I'm five. And that is what Jesus' parables did. So, if we do not apply what we've learned and what God tells us through his word in our lives, we are a lifeless glove. That lifeless glove, that's what we think of man-made religion. But when you put God in it, and it's God-made religion, and it's God-approved religion, boy, that glove comes to life, doesn't it? Boy, it sure does. Let's go to... Oh, thank you, Meemaw Becky. Thank you, Ethich. I appreciate that so very much. Let's go to the verse of the day today. We're actually going to read quite a bit through it. Let me pop this on the screen here. We're right now, ladies and gentlemen, in the portion of the Bible, which is James chapter 1. If you want to open your Bibles, James chapter 1. Verse 19 through 27. Ready for this? Here we go. Hearing and doing the word. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word. Here's the application part, folks, right? But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You don't want to be a lifeless glove. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing. And this is where the rubber meets the road right here, folks. If anyone thinks he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So hold up. God is saying, there's a bunch of people with religiosity out there. There's a bunch of people that are practicing religion, which is humanity's attempt to reach God through rules, rituals, and traditions. That's what he's saying right there. He's like, if you think you're religious, but you're not doing this, then guess what? Your religion is flawed. But he's still using the word religion, isn't he? So it's clearly a thing. Hold on. We're going to get back to it here. This person's religion is worthless. And then verse 27. Here we go. Ready? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this. So, before we get into the is this part, he clearly approves of something. He clearly approves of the word religion. He clearly approves that you can have a religion in him, but he's very to the point on what that means. And that's this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unsustained from the world. Oh, ho, ho, ho. So that's, he's literally calling out the man-made religions, but telling you that religion that is pure and of me means that you walk like this. You bridle your tongue. You exercise the nine fruits of the Spirit, but you also separate yourself from the world because you are not to be sustained by that. You are to be sustained by me, which is what Jesus said to the devil the 40 days and the 40 nights in the wilderness when he said, I shall not live on bread alone, but the very word of God. So the answer is Christianity a religion or a relationship? And my answer would be it's both. Because I have a religion in the fact that I have faith and worship in God, the Creator, and I have a relationship with His Son, the Word, that brings me to Him. And I have the Holy Spirit, God, inside of me that makes it so that glove is not lifeless. Because I've applied God, because He's in me through the Holy Spirit, with Jesus being the mediator, I am now not a lifeless glove. So the answer is both. So I think that it is wrong to separate ourselves from the word religion. Because I'm talking about it from His point of view. I could care less about the world's point of view of what religion is, or what the world's definition of religion is. I could care less. Has nothing to do with me. You want to have traditions, rules, and rituals under your religion? Go ahead. Doesn't mean I can't talk to you. It doesn't mean that we can't worship God together. But the minute you start taking it outside of what God intended, I just won't be a part of it. That's all. Annette said, like works a bit. Why do the works? We do the works because it's proof of our relationship and not because we're trying to get saved. We do it because we want to. It's great. M. Wag says, I've though these for quite some time, Jeremy, but you articulate it so perfectly. Well, thank you very much. All glory goes to God. Definitely all glory goes to God. It's so incredible when you really look at God's word for an answer rather than, like, you can use other books, you can use devotional books, you can use video, you can use other people's knowledge and their way of teaching to assist when you research. I do. But ultimately, my answer, my full answer comes from the Bible. I allow God to steer me certain ways so that I may get to that answer in the Bible through other people guiding me there. But all that is the Holy Spirit bringing more information my way. And then I work my way to the verses in which the answer is found. Because God says He reveals His secrets in the Word of the Bible, not through videos of other people talking about it. So, I will probably stop saying that I don't have a religion, I have a relationship. I have both. Best of both worlds. I have a religion because I have a relationship. That's what I'm going to start saying. And when somebody says, oh, what's your religion? I'm going to say, my religion is my faith and worship in God the Creator. What's that called? It's called a relationship through Jesus Christ. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You got to be something. No, I don't. I just got to be a child of God. That's all I got to be. That's my religion. I'm a child of God because that's who I worship. That's who I have faith in. That's my religion. And it's only possible because of my relationship through Christ, in which is handed down to me the very Spirit of God to make me a vessel full of life and not a lifeless vessel. So when somebody asks you this question and says this, it's not the easiest of answers. You might have to take them through the steps that I just took you through, but that's okay because God is complex. And we love it. Chris Green says, my religion is I am a disciple of God. There you go. There you go. Now somebody said, can you call it Christianity? You can, but I'm just saying for the argument of other people looking on it and going, well, what are you? You know? What are you? And that's what I would say. Folks, I got a video for you here today. And I'm really, really loving the street preaching that's going on. And I'm very much loving when people go to colleges and preach the word of God to youngsters. It's so inspiring to me. And I came across this one, and I thought that I'd play it today. We have enough time to play most of it, so here we go.
Imani?
Destiny.
Now I'm going to ask you guys a random question. Okay. What do you guys think the purpose of life is?
I would definitely say while being earthly beings, it's definitely like to serve people and enjoy the good of life. Enjoy the fact that you're able to like create bonds with people and memories, living through God specifically. Things that he placed us on this earth to do, like as beings that we can touch and feel emotions.
So would you say like God is the purpose?
God is.
Okay.
God is the person that we're serving. Like we live like
to,
yeah.
Have other people come closer to him so we can be with him up in heaven. Mm-hmm.
Oh wow. So who's your God? Who do you believe in?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so then like for me, I want you to give me the way to heaven. How can I get to heaven?
Repent for your sins, and you have to believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins and just accept him, and that's how you start basically.
Okay, now if I'm a Muslim, can I make it to heaven through Islam?
That
I know that there's a God that Muslims do believe in.
Allah?
Yes, that I just did not want to get it incorrect, but I do believe that there is a version of heaven, maybe not our heaven. But there's like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, there may be a version of heaven that you can go to. I'm not sure how it is that, like, through your book or whatever it is that.
I think they have to do for their God.
So through the Muslim God, can I make it to heaven?
Yes, I do.
I'm not sure.
What do you feel?
I don't know because I don't know anything about Muslim religion, so I don't really want to like disrespect their religion, so I don't have a say.
Okay, so you're not sure, but you guys would say yes, I can make it through. Okay, but you're not sure. What if I told y'all I am a Holy Spirit filled Christian?
Then we already like on the same page.
Yeah, we're on the same level.
And then another thing is, as a Christian, right, from what we believe in, the only way to heaven is through Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other religion that said that. There's no other person that said that. Like, even Allah was a false god that was worshipped at the Mecca thousands of years ago amongst many other gods. They just took that name for that deity and they flipped it to make it the actual definition of God in Arabic. But the original word for God in Arabic, the Almighty, was not Allah. It was actually adopted over time, right? Which is crazy, right? But that was actually a demigod that was worshipped amongst other gods, right? So y'all follow Jesus because you've encountered him, right? So I want y'all to tell me each individually, how have you tangibly encountered God? When was that moment where you were like, yo, Jesus is real?
Definitely trials and tribulations. There was a time in my life where I definitely was confused. And until like you hear him or like you've seen him in a dream that's when I knew. I was just like, okay, like this is my calling to be saved. Like
you saw him in a dream?
I started going to church more, yeah. I had a lot going on in my life at that time.
So what happened? You had a dream about Jesus?
It was more of just him, like, talking to me. Like, he was just, like, there. And we were having a conversation by, like, a tree that just kept, like, moving, like, different places. It was weird. But I searched up what it meant, but that's, like, for me, personally.
Word. Was it a fig tree or was it, like, a regular tree?
It was like a tree with, like, red, like, leaves on it. I don't know what that meant, but...
The blood of Jesus, right? Like, he washes away your sins. And the tree represents, like in the Bible, it says that he saw us as trees. The blind man, when Jesus prayed for him, he saw everyone as trees because we plant, we sow, and we reap. We're like growing like trees. We're being sanctified. You know what I'm saying? Like even what we pray for or what we believe in, it's like a seed of faith, and then it grows. as we water it through prayer and belief. So maybe God was showing you, like, he was testing your faith. And he was bringing you through a season where it felt like everything was falling, but it was actually him stretching you, your faith, to pour you more oil, more wine, more new wine. You know, because sometimes, you know, we do look for the wrong things in the wrong places, and God will put us through things to get us out of those things. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
Which is a good thing. And sometimes what we think is a catastrophic, or, oh man, this is causing so much depression, it's really God protecting us from something that could be worse, which is like maybe a relationship with somebody that we weren't supposed to be with. And that's what causes us to feel that way. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you? Is that like spot on to what was going on in your life at that time? And what if I told you that God protected you from things that could have happened to you that it might have been worse?
Yes.
And now as time went by, you see that it actually came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's crazy, right? And you actually have a lot of prophetic dreams where the Lord speaks to you, and you also have discernment too, where you discern things on people, and you can discern spirits. This is what we believe in the Bible. And God is calling you into that prophetic calling, like to be able to prophetically speak over people's life, the word of God. And I think for you, like a word for you is that God is calling you in to get into the word more, to know the word. I don't think you've ever really gotten to into a fire of reading the Bible. You read the word, but never like to where you're like constantly reading. Does that make sense?
Right.
And I think God is gonna take you into that, and it's gonna blow your mind how he renews your mind. Because as you renew your mind, when things happen in your life, your reaction's different. Think about from trauma in the past, when something happens in our life, how we react is actually a response to trauma, which God wants to heal. He wants to heal it. And the only way to heal it is through the word, because it renews the mind. So when something happens, instead of us getting depressed or getting bitter or getting angry, right? Instead, we move in love. It doesn't even affect us. Like, I don't feel it if someone does this. I don't, because my mind's been renewed. Does that make sense? So God wants to do that for you. So you're called into the prophetic. You're called to be an evangelist. God has called you to win souls, to preach the gospel, because you're very bold and you're a leader.
So praise dance in church growing up, and that was when I was really feeling him, and I would feel his spirit. So like, it's deep.
Yeah, you love him. You love Jesus. You love the Holy Spirit. And I think that the Lord is going to teach you more about the Holy Spirit, who he is. He's the third person of the triune Godhead, right? He's a person. He has a personality. And we experience God now through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Father, right, all powerful, he sent the Holy Ghost so we can experience God now. Does that make sense? Just like I'm a husband to a wife, I'm a father, I'm also a brother and an uncle, right? I have different ways people see me, but I'm one. That's how God is, right?
So we experience, I love that,
God now through the Holy Ghost. And God wants you to get back into that praise, and specifically evangelism. You're going to preach the gospel and win souls, because you do have a boldness. You're going to move in deliverance ministry, healing. You're going to be casting demons out of people, praying for people to get healed from sicknesses.
I had a dream about that.
Tell me what happened.
So, oh my God.
I actually saw a vision.
I think he's going to bring her to tears.
Are you casting out demons?
Okay, I don't want to cry, but... So basically, in my dream, I was sleeping in my room, and I saw like this dark spirit like trying to like get to me, basically, from under my bed. And I just started saying, blood of Jesus, I cast you out. Like, you're not welcome here, and all that stuff. So.
And you were bold about it, because you have a boldness like an evangelist. God is calling you into deliverance ministry specifically, and you're going to win a lot of souls to Christ. You're going to help a lot of women that need that push, that maybe might be in that depressed state, because you have that boldness to, like, let's go, come on. Yeah, you help people like her that might be dealing with traumas that maybe you didn't go through, because she's been through a lot. Like, if you talk to her and get more personal with her, God's going to reveal things to you through her of things she's been through that you can help her get out of. You're called to be an evangelist. Remember what I just said. You're going to win a lot of souls to Christ. What I'm doing right now, I'm an evangelist.
Yeah.
Right?
I see.
And then for you, you're called to be a teacher. You have a gift to teach people. Have you ever taught, like, the youth? Is that something that you have a passion for or thought about?
I would like to. I wasn't raised in the church as much, but my mom and I, we usually, like, try to read the Bible or try to join stuff, like, online and stuff. But, no, I have never had that thought before to teach them.
And when I say the youth, am I talking about, like, I'm talking about young, like, 4, 5, 3, like, the age of my kids. You have a call on your life to be a pastoral towards the young, and you're going to teach them, and they're going to look at you like a motherly figure. You're real nurturing and you're real loving.
Yes, people tell me I have like a nurturing personality. Like, I'm usually like the mother of the group. That's how I get called sometimes.
So this is a confirmation.
Yes.
It's actually the pastoral. So prophetic, evangelist, pastoral. You're called into the pastoral because all pastors are teachers. You teach the word and you help people. You bring them through seasons where you're with love and prayer. That's actually your call. That's what you were predestined. God wrote this plan since the beginning for you to do. Yeah, like all these things, we UCF, this is all great. I'm not knocking it, but there's a deeper meaning, and it's to glorify God. We could do all these things to glorify God through it. Can I just say a prayer for y'all real quick? And also, I have a question. Are you dealing right now with depression or something like that? I just saw a spirit on you. The Holy Spirit just highlighted that. He just told me you're dealing with depression.
Aww.
And it's heavy, and it's been tormenting you.
Aww.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Yep.
Where there are two or more gathered.
That's what God does.
In His name.
It's a good thing.
Wow.
And that's the love of God. You see how they're hugging her? That's the love of God. That's what God does. Because she wouldn't have told anybody. She was keeping it to herself.
Wow.
And it was going to cause an explosion. God don't want her to have that. Because she has to speak up more and vocalize it. She takes too much weight on her back for other people instead of, and she never gets the help she needs. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our sister. Lord, we pray that you give her freedom right now, healing through these hugs, through this love. Lord, we thank you for this word that you confirm. And Lord, that she has the pastor on her, a teacher. She's going to help so many youth, Lord. Let this be a confirmation. This is a chain-breaking confirmation for your daughter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. Oh, wow. Wow. All right, folks. Remember, if somebody says, are you religious? You say, of course. What religion? I worship Yahweh. I'm a child of God. And I have a relationship through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit lives within me. There's your answer. I am a child of God. I am a warrior for God. I am a soldier of God. And I am one with God through my Savior, Christ Jesus. Sean Farish starts now here on LFA TV, followed by 2 hours of Live from America with yours truly. Wow. What a show today. God bless you guys. See you later. Bye-bye.